Well met, friends. My name is Adam, and this is the Get Pipe Podcast, where we love the pipe today. Well, as always, I am joined by my good friend Nick, aka the producer guy. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Adam, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, man.
Good.
I'm like, this is like,
there we go.
Like, it's weird, man. It's a, normally.
Is it weird?
I guess, no, it's not weird. It's not weird to be doing good, but yeah, I was, dude, the past couple of days has been like a little like weird quirk, but I, and honestly, because I hadn't really been exercising and I've been out of my game, you know, we went over to, and we'll talk about my weekend and whatnot, but basically I went to the gym today, and this isn't a fitness podcast, so bear with me for all our folks who give zero craps about this, but I was not in the mood to, and I've been putting it off for quite some time. It's been about a week, and I performed. I liked that. I'm not trying to, it's just, I was stronger than I thought I was, and okay. I got, it just, it's crazy how much just a little exercise can put you in a good mood. So I'm doing pretty good. We're recording this kind of late on Wednesday night, so this will go live tomorrow morning, so Thursday, on April the 4th. Happy birthday to Get Wifed.
True.
Yeah, big shout out to Get Wifed as this is going live. So also shout out to her for allowing me to, you know, get this recording in. But we're excited, man. I'm really excited to talk about pipes. It's been a week as it naturally is, but this one I'm feeling good about. So how are you doing, man? How's things? How's work? How's the sleep? How are the kids?
Yeah, things are pretty good. I just want to throw this out there. Rick Newcomb's proud that you got your workout in. I'm just going to say that.
He is, man. Big fan of Rick Newcomb.
But things are going well. I definitely feel tired. I think that's the running theme. But
is that because we record so late? I don't know. Is that, or are you just feeling like tired as like a human right now?
I had a lot of brain fog today. I was telling you, man. Like just tired brain fog. The sleep's been, and people are going to scoff at this because they're like, oh, I get 4 hours of sleep. But like, I'm probably running on average 6 to 6.5. And like, I can do that just fine. But like, when you incorporate then staying up later on, you know, whatever days, and then working out and all that stuff, it's just not ideal. And like, I haven't been doing too much pipe and cigar-y stuff lately. So just because I've been doing other things. It was a great Easter weekend, which was awesome. I did have a little bit of cigar, which was good. It was the girl with no name? Is that?
No clue. Wouldn't know. No.
It's one of the,
this boy with a name wouldn't know.
I forget what it was.
Where'd you get it?
Someone's punching the air. I got it from Ben Smith. It was the Drew Estate. Yeah, there we go. I think that's what it was. It was good. It was great. It has like a nice casing flavoring on the outside, and that makes
I love a flavored cigar,
like,
man.
Like really sweet, and it was great. Had it with producer wife. Literally, all I had for dinner was steak and a cigar.
For Easter? Like,
no, I think this was last Friday or Saturday. No, I think it was Saturday. I texted you, hope you know, with the cigar. I think.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
And then literally grilled a steak. Ribeye steak, and that's what was my dinner. And I think that was like a peak moment for me right there. I just needed a pistol and maybe a glass of whiskey.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I feel you, man. I have been a lot of my dinners have been just like some red meat and some smoke, and a lot of my breakfasts and lunches and dinners have also just been smoking and coffee. That's it. But again, I do some pretty insane things to my body for not for the better, maybe.
No.
But that's a conversation for another brother to brother, which we won't get into this particular weekend. But man, I had a great weekend. I was over up in New England, was able to go home for like a very surprisey impromptu visit, and that was very, very thanks to Get Mom for buying me a flight home, just to be completely transparent. So she's you know, the goat of mothers. I think everyone thinks they have the best mom. I'm definitely in that crew of folks who think that. And yeah, it was very, very awesome. Cause last time I was home, man, it was for the, did we go home for Christmas? I think we did. Yeah, we did. We did.
I feel
a little,
like I should know this.
We did. We did a little Peretti meetup. That was cool.
Yeah, right.
But you know, balancing having to go to, you know, the wife's and, you know, I mean, I love doing that. I'm actually bummed I didn't get to see my in-laws, which is a cool thing to say, because I know a lot of folks don't love their in-laws, which is, I don't know. I love my in-laws. And especially, I knew if I had gone up, you know, my father-in-law would be like, hey, Adam, you want a shot of bourbon? I would very much enjoy that with you, my father-in-law. But no, so this one was actually really just me. Kid wife stayed home. She was working. And I was able to hang out with mom, man. And last one in August when I went home before the December trip, it was dedicated to get pops because that was his birthday in the middle of August. And we also went to the Smitty Cigar, or excuse me, not the Smitty Cigar event, the Twin Smoke Shop blending seminar with Jeremy mm-hmm. Reeves. Go check out that episode. It's a What's Up in Smoke. But yeah, so this was like mom weekend. And it was also Adam weekend. I got to have time alone. So there's some crazy travel plans, which I won't get into, or rather the plans were good, but Americans' plans were different. And I was supposed to get there Thursday night. I ended up having to stay at a hotel, because flights were delayed and whatnot, but I was able to get there in the morning, on Friday, and we went right to my favorite place, New Hampshire. So if you guys are from New England, you got to go to Red Arrow Diner. I think I've talked about this before. It's my favorite breakfast place in the world, on the planet. Breakfast place. My favorite breakfast is at Doyle's in Washington. But that said, my favorite breakfast place, it's a 24-hour diner. It's just an amazing place. Everyone with the presidents go there because of the primary and all that. So it's a pretty famous New Hampshire staple. So we as soon as we got home, my mom picks me up and we go to Red Arrow Diner, which was so awesome. And man, then the Dunkin's just ensued, because Dunkin's is so much better up in New England than it is down in the South. But yeah, man, I was crushing food. I was crushing good food, good cooked food, like home cooked food, despite cooking zero meals at home. There's just like an enjoyment of the food up there, man. There's a food culture up there that's like, we've talked about this too. You got to be good. You got to be good in New England if you're going to sell to the people. And man, do they do a really good job. So yeah. And then I get to have a buddy night with our good friend Caleb. Caleb's been a listener for a long time. And I mean, I went to college with him. He was, you know, he's just the man. You guys have heard of Caleb every now and then.
Literally.
So me and
the best man in your wedding.
He was my best man. Yeah. At my wedding. So he's, you know, producer guy wasn't. He's dang, punching the air right now. No, he's... but yeah, so a little bit, you know,
all in good fun, Caleb.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Dude, Caleb's doing the opposite of punching the air. We still don't know what that is.
He's shooting the air.
Finger gunning the air. Ooh,
finger gun. That
might be it.
There
that's
we
like,
go.
That's like the rave to the rant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was awesome, man. Him and I went to Boston for a night, and yeah, it was just like, dude, he had to call out of work. Well, he requested it off. It wasn't just, he's a police officer. He wasn't just like, hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm sick. And then he was just in Boston enjoying with me. No, he gets
arrested
by his own PD.
The police in New Hampshire.
So yeah, went to Peretti, man, as I always do when I try to go up to New England, and I got some cool little acquisitions, nothing crazy. Just wanted to stack up on some tobacco that I talked about in my latest YouTube video, which I hate is my latest because it's a couple months removed right now. Got another one in the works, and it's going to be cool, kind of on par with a producer guy's dinner the other day, if you catch my drift. Really, really cool stuff coming. But yeah, it was great. I got some Irish Mist. It's one of my favorite tobaccos that a friend had given me. Talk about that before as well. Got Blend 52, Blend No Name, which is a one that I thought I loved, and then I smelt it. I just ordered 2 ounces, and then I smelt it just today, and I was like, oh, wow, that's very... very Lakelandy, like very, very, very soapy, very really rustic is the great word here, like old timey, dusty shelf kind of. So I got to pack a bowl of that, but I was a little afraid to smoke that, but I know I've had it before. But I also tried Coffee Blend. I'm trying to get my aromatic game up for more of the nuanced blenders. Another one I wanted to try was Park Square. I've had it before, don't remember. It's like a very Virginia Ford English blend, which is very intriguing to me. And then I did get a pipe. Now, no, I did not get an artisan pipe from Todd Brugman, which I am punching the air because I would love another one of his pipes. He has just so many great ones. And there's a couple there that I'm like, man, I can't do it, man. I can't do the money right now, but I got a wall pipe, man. And this is something that Okay. It was like an epic growth moment, right? So a wall pipe, you might have heard the term. I wouldn't say this is a basket pipe, but typically a lesser name to no name pipe is considered these wall pipes or these basket pipes. Now, the thing about a basket pipe, that like a true basket pipe, is it's there's some fills, there's some pits that have been filled, and you know, maybe the quality is just, you know, bang around really cheap briar, you know, maybe not aged properly, thrown together, okay stem. Like, these are really cheap companies. You're going to be paying like between 40 to even $50 for a basket pipe, maybe even 60, which you hate to see a $60 basket pipe for, because an extra 10-ish, 20-ish dollars, you can get something really, really, really nice. But this is a wall pipe, man, and it has zero name on it. It is a no-name pipe, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. And I can tell the stem is not cool. It's clenchable. I'm clenching it right now, but it is not comfy. So I will have our good friend Todd Brugman over at LJ Peretti do a slight modification to this, which I feel is fitting because it was an LJ Peretti pipe. And he's going to stamp LJ Peretti on it. And I've always wanted an LJ Peretti stamped pipe. They still do it every now and then on their kind of wall pipes. But it's less common because they have their own two artisans, right? So if you want an LJ Peretti pipe, which I do, you would get one of their artisan makers. But this one's cool, man. It's like a Virginia-y kind of pipe. You know what this pipe screams to me? And I'm really bad at describing them. But this screams GLPs. There's something about this that I think Greg Peace would love it. And I'm showing producer guy right now, and the lighting is absolutely atrocious, but it's like so bad. It's like a paneled pipe, but not in the way that you would think. It's very beautiful. I'm going to post some of these in the podcast references. So shout out to everyone who thinks that I won't. I promise I will.
It's like a rounded panel.
Yeah. It's like, what is this? A hexagon? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hexagon. Yeah.
Hexagon. Yep.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing. Pentagon's 5. Think of the big building that you ultimately work for.
Oh, yeah, the one I work for, the Pentagon. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got hexagon right. So yeah, it is this but yeah, it's really, really cute, and it's dainty, and it's, you know, my finger kind of barely fits in, and this is definitely going to be a straight Virginia pipe.
Listening to the Pipes Mag episode.
Right? What are the odds, right?
I was just
thinking that before the episode aired, I was like, wow, I very seldom think about stuffing specific tobaccos and specific pipes because of their shape. And then I got this pipe, you know, this weekend before the episode aired, and I was like, okay, this one's, yeah. And it's small enough and tall enough, this should be a Virginia, and it was kind of cool to hear that on Pipes Magazine. But
yeah,
so it was a pretty successful trip. Hung out in there, and good to see some folks. Steve was there, you know, still grumpy in the back, but he is an absolute sweetheart. Especially when, you know, his tobacco store is doing well, and I was excited to, you know, kind of contribute a little bit to one of my favorite tobacconists, man. But yeah, good weekend, good mental reset. Physically, maybe not, because of all the traveling and all the Dunkin' Donuts I consumed and pubs I consumed in Boston. Man, we definitely a solid amount of pints, but a solid amount of like soda bread, fish and chips, you know, just good pub food, man. It's my thing. I love it. And so I'm feeling it this weekend. So, or excuse me, following this weekend physically, I'm feeling it, but it was good mental reset, man. Really, really good mental reset.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah. We had, I don't know, it was just good as well. Like, we, on Saturday before Easter, we went up to the in-laws, did like an Easter egg hunt. And I say that it was, they live in like a big community type thing. They threw hundreds of eggs in the middle of this small playground, and all the little kids ran and
just picked up
10 each.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of lame, but that's okay. You know, it was still a great weekend, and I'm just happy to be here, man. It's already hump day, which is weird.
Yeah, dude, there's something really awesome about being in the podcasty sphere and also being a listener of podcasts, especially ones that you like. Maybe if you listen to like 25, maybe not, but a lot of the pipe smoking folks are listening to just a few, right? There's only
right.
You know, four-ish, five-ish out there. And it's a good way to get your week to go by, right? So I know like Wednesday-ish, I'm like, oh man, we got to record, you know, our schedule's been a little bit whack,
yeah,
producer guy and I's, but But it's been good because I'm like, oh, well, man, if I got to record tonight, get this episode out for Thursday, that means tomorrow's Thursday, which means it's almost Friday, which means it's almost Saturday. And it's like a cool little thing. So I know the listeners are probably like, oh, it's hell yeah, Thursday. It's live, almost Friday. That's kind of why we like Thursday. We like making Thursday a little bit better, and that's kind of why we drop our episode on Thursdays. But
heck yeah. But I got to say, I'm wearing my Guinness shirt right now. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh, dude, where'd you get that? That is a nice shirt.
Classic Guinness, fits great.
Yeah, got the harp on top.
The harp on top, feels good on the biceps and triceps, and it's like,
Did you get that at that little corner store thing?
Man.
Nice, man. I'm glad you got merched up.
Honestly, probably one of my favorite shirts I ever have, and I'm debating on wearing it to the gym tomorrow. And no, you don't think
so? Well, see, I love wearing my favorite shirts to the gym, but then they become gym shirts very quickly.
See,
which is cool because if you're going to make it a gym shirt, but I'm kind of the dude where like I produce some sweat and over time that shirt becomes just like a
gross.
I can't wear that in the especially in the South, dude.
Oh gosh, I know. So what I was going to wear today to the gym, but then I was like, no, I need the Guinness gives me strength shirt or Guinness's strength, whatever it is, and the guy's holding the beam.
Guinness for strength or something,
Guinness for strength, yeah. I need one of those or like, I don't know, I'll just make one.
I think you have to make one. I don't know if they have any.
I think they have some out there. It's just the poster or whatever it is.
Yeah, they're on my wall right now. I got two.
Yeah, you're looking at them. I love it.
But yeah, man, dude, I would love, if we can make some shirts that have the thing, because the posters are cool, but I'd like to represent. Speaking of representing, though, I actually, on the topic of Guinness, and it's pipe related. I was looking for all the St. Patrick's Day Peterson pipes. And I still am. I'm still kind of on the hunt for it. So if you have some from years you don't want anymore, shoot me a message. I'm always interested. As long as you're not trying to price gouge me. But I posted like that as like the photo. It was me smoking the 2024, and it was on Paddy's Day. I'm drinking it was at the parade. I had a can of Guinness in my hand, had my Peterson in the other. Probably was where I was actually wearing a St. Patrick's Day Guinness shirt as well. So I was kind of Guinness merched up. That's why I appreciate you wearing that. But
yeah, man.
So I'm out there and I post this little photo. Hey, in search of all these pipes, if you have any, I'm very interested, reach out to me. And someone commented on it. Many people had commented on it, but one person's comment was just not, oh, I got a pipe for you, or hey, nice pipe. It was just, what does he say? With the photo, again, me wearing the Guinness, drinking the can of Guinness, smoking the pipe. It's surely you're not drinking that Guinness from a can. And that was the comment. And now let me get this one. This could be a pipe down, but since it's not pipe related, it won't be. But basically, there's like an evolution of Guinness drinkers, right? So it starts off with you tolerate it. It's something you tolerate, right? Then there's like Guinness enjoyers. They enjoy getting it from time to time. Then there's Guinness lovers. People are like, oh, I love Guinness. It's a good beer. It's one of my favorite stouts or porters. And then there's like after that, you transcend to like this elitist mentality, become a Guinness elitist. And I think my argument is this is like the woe of the Guinness society. This would, you could apply this to pipe society, right? Once you get really, really into pipes, you're like, oh yeah, I got a pipe. I got a couple corn cobs that I smoke, once a year, twice a year with my buddy. Then, I'm trying to start new blends and get new blends. Tried some aromatic sampler. Then it goes into, I love this stuff. I have all these different types. I have all these different pipes. Then you get into that elitism. And I'm hoping most people don't, but I feel like everyone tips their toe in just a little bit at some point in their career as a pipe smoker. Same with Guinness, where they become like, oh, aromatics are the fake tobacco. Oh, I only smoke Esoterica. I only smoke the finest high grade pipes. I would never smoke a basket pipe. I would never listen to Get Piped and get a wall pipe off the wall at LJ Peretti. I'm only going to go with the expensive artisans, the old Castellos or whatever. That's the exact same thing with Guinness, where people will be like, oh, this isn't poured in a proper glass, I'm not drinking it. Oh, this is, you're not doing the proper pour method, the two-part pour, I'm not drinking it. Oh, it's not even filled all the way, like it doesn't have domage, which is like the little cream head, I'm not drinking it, kind of thing. And there's some validity to those things. Do I love when the pint is poured properly in a Guinness glass? Absolutely. That is my favorite thing because it's what makes the beer the best. But like, and then like Guinness Zero, Guinness snobs, Guinness elitists be like, I'm not drinking this Guinness Zero, non-alcoholic. Why would I do that? You're defeating the purpose of Guinness. And like, I have transcended that. So this guy was a Guinness elitist coming at me for drinking it out of a can. Again, I was at a St. Patrick's Day parade. And he's like, surely you're not drinking Guinness out of a can.
Sure.
And I'm like, yeah, because I've transcended your position. I'm a Guinness man. Past that is the Guinness men and the Guinness women of the world, where this guy would, I like Guinness so much that I'm not going to pass up on Guinness. This guy would be like, oh, it's in a can. Surely I'm not drinking that. Like, okay, more for me, because I'm a real Guinness man. And that's kind of where my that's kind of where my spiel goes about these elitists. And that's how it should be about pipes, man. And it absolutely is. Like, yeah, you might not enjoy, right, specific types of tobacco, but you know, if you like pipes, like you, it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter the blend. You're not going to get on someone else for its problems. But yeah, I the other day we were at Buffalo Wild Wings as well, and they always serve them in the classic me, I know. They always serve them in the Guinness glass, but for some reason, like my third pint came out and it was in just like a 16 ounce pint glass, like a regular American style pint glass. And the cool thing about the Guinness glass is it's 20 ounces. So I was paying for the same thing, losing 4 ounces, and it wasn't poured it was poured properly, but it just doesn't work. The glass is very important. But I was like, what am I going to say no to this? I'm a Guinness man. I'll drink it and enjoy it. And, you know, it was not as good as the other two, but yeah. That's part of it. So I thought that was kind of funny and I wanted to kind of bring that up. But yeah, anyway, so there you have it. I am a Guinness man. And if you are a Guinness woman, cheers to you. We can clink our cans while the naysayers, the elitists are go thirsty. They die of thirst. But yeah, man, it's funny. That post about the Paddy's Day pipes, I was able to spot two scammers. I'm a scam professional. What? Beep, 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 boop. No, I'm a professional scammer spotter.
You're a professional scammer.
I won't. Basically, one guy was just absolutely BSing me, but the second one I'll share real quick. This guy goes, "Hey, like I think I got a few years, but I'm not sure. Let me check when I get home." I was like, "All right, yeah, dude, shoot me messages." He's like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a 2017 and then like a 2018 or 2016 or something. I don't know." He comes back like probably 10 minutes later. Oh, this is the one I have. It's the 2018. And it's a picture of four pipes, 2018 St. Patrick's Day Peterson pipes. And I was like, whoa, holy crap. I was like, this is badass. I was like, he's like, yeah, I was like, how do you have that? He's like, oh, my grandfather, you know, definitely helped out. And you know, we're big pipe collectors. He's like, but I'm open to, you know, parting with some of these. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, could you show me a close up of the top two? I like these two shapes. He's like, yeah, man, like, don't worry. When I get home, I'll shoot you that. I'm thinking about 140, which is a good deal. 140 for a, you know, rare pipe Peterson. That's probably the top level. But I was like, yeah, dude, that sounds great. He's like, yeah, just let me know like where to send this out, man. And, you know, shoot me that payment and I'll get it out probably Monday. And I was like, hell yeah, just shoot me a photo when you can, you know, and then we're good to go. I just want to get like a close look of the markings. He follows up. He's like, well, this one's right by me right now. And it was a different one, like that wasn't even in that group of pictures. He's like, I have this one right now. If you want to commit to this one, I'll sell it to you for 80. And I was like, and it was like with the markings. And I was like, I appreciate it, man, but I'm totally interested in those other two shapes. They are badass. And then he's like, okay, yeah, well, I'll get those to you in a little bit. The wifey and I are about to eat dinner. So like totally like no, like kindly send me to the parcel kind of thing. Like he's just talking to me like I'm a regular dude. So I'm like, okay, yeah, sweet. Hell yeah. And then probably 30 minutes later, he comes back and he's like, oh, sorry, man. The wife said, I can't sell those one. Those were grandpa's. So I'll have to keep digging, but I won't be able to sell those ones. And I was like, dude, what? I was like, that makes no sense. He's like, hang on, let me check one more time. And then he finds some other pipes. Like a 2015, I believe, which is wicked rare. And he's like, you can have this one for 140. And then he sent me a request, like a payment request for it that I could have said, clicked yes. And I was like, dude, can you shoot me the markings on that one? I'm very interested, but I'm not committed to that one. And then that's when he shot me more photos of ones that he had already sent, but kind of screwed it up or something. And then I was like, bro, you're scamming. I just called his ass out. I was like, dude, you're scamming me. I was like, you don't have this brick and mortar shop. I was like, this is not my first rodeo. And then he literally says, nah, I'm fucking with you. LOL. I'm looking for them also. LOL. These guys love the LOL, man. I have a regular old pipe I'm smoking. And I was like, so why did you request me $140? Like, this was a link that I clicked pay. It wasn't like, hey, can you shoot me? Like, he sent me a literal link that if I had clicked it, I would have paid him $140. And he goes, I forgot to cancel that. Hang on, LOL. And man, I'm just effing with you. LOL, my bad. If I had them pipes, I'd be selling them for more than $140. LOL. And bro, I was like, how do you even, I would have just like, once I called you up for scamming, just block me. Just yeah, call, like, I don't know.
Just block
me. I'm just messing with you. I was like, okay, so what if I paid you? Like, obviously, dude, crazy. So anyway, you got to be careful out there on the Facebook groups, man. It's that's why you got to go to a pipe show. There ain't no scamming at pipe shows. We got the Chicago pipe show coming up, man.
Coming up.
Yeah, so dude, soon. 1 week. Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. 1 week, 1 week. 1 week, I will be there. From the time of this going live. So
that's wild.
Which is crazy. And I'm not ready. I'm not mentally ready. I'm not emotionally ready. I don't know. I'm excited, but we've been so busy, producer guy and I. Like, you and I have been so busy that I've put kind of zero stock into it.
Yeah, like my day to day, I think that's why like I have some brain fog. It's just like the days go by so quick. I would like, my work has gotten a lot busier, which is ultimately good. Like, it's a good thing, I would say. I'd rather it be busy than not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, there's nothing worse than sitting at your desk, like, waiting for work to come.
Like, twiddling your thumbs. But it's like, since the move, there's been a lot of things that we can do and make it right. And yeah, it's been good, so. But
that's permanent, right? You guys are out of that old location.
Yep. There may be a foot in the door there where we'll have like a pay for a little tiny office thing. So if we need to recon there at all, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a holiday for other people and we're still kind of working, or, you know, it's like we need to be closer to home, but still need to get out of the house for like half a day or whatever it is. So yeah, they might do that. But anyways, it's, you know, being near the stuff that we are selling and all that stuff is huge.
Yeah.
So it's really good. But yeah, super excited for you for the Chicago show, because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's, man. Gonna be awesome. And like, one thing I actually wanted to mention is we just got message in our Galactic Pipe Club. If you are interested in getting a Chicago slow smoke pipe, you can still get one. I don't know if that means you are also entered into it. I could have done some more research on this, but our good friend,
you cannot get into it. Yeah.
Okay. So that the I guess they're full or probably complete on that, on the booking per se, but you can still get the actual pipe, and it is a freaking beautiful pipe. So if you're interested, you can reach out to Andre. He's the president, director, I guess, of the slow smokes at UPCA, a great friend of ours. And this is a beautiful pipe. It's a Chacombe. And by purchasing one of these, all the proceeds help get Team USA to the Worlds that we had talked about a couple weeks ago. That's going to be in Poland. So beautiful pipe, little memento. And you don't have to be going to the Chicago Pipe Show. It's a pretty ass pipe, man. It's something that I encourage you to take a look at, you know, especially if you're not going, because you have a little bit of Chicago Pipe Show in your way. But yeah, we're wishing all the slow smoke contenders, competitors, if you may, to the best luck. And if you're a listener, I'm really pulling for you. We actually have some folks from the Indiana Pipe Club who will be participating. They have one winner for sure who will be in that slow smoke competition. And I bring that up because Get Piped actually sponsored that event to a degree. We supplied some cool little Get Piped matches and allowed them to do their slow smoke competition, which was held about a month and a half ago. And yeah, they're ready to get after it at the Chicago Pipe Show Slow Smoke. So yeah, good luck to all of the folks who are there, whether you're coming from the Seattle Pipe Club, coming from, you know, the Indiana Pipe Club, or just yourself. You're just coming from Iowa. I don't know how many people are from Iowa. Not many, but maybe you are. So good luck to you in the slow smoke, man. But we're excited. Let's get into this episode with the last few things. I hear you guys. A lot of folks have been reaching out about the Flannel Coffee from the Get Piped Reserve. We're talking that new tobacco blend. We're trying to find a way to get a count, and I really wish I had that prepared for this episode so you guys could then, you know, sign up. But I've had tons of emails. I've had tons of messages in Discord, even on Instagram, saying, hey, put me down. We'll probably do like a Google Doc kind of thing, and then I'll put it up at least for the next episode for that week of Chicago, and then I can go to Sutliff and be like, hey, I mean, if it's like 12, then they're probably going to tell me to respectfully kick rocks. But if it's like 100 and they're like, yeah, I'll pay for this, that might change things. I don't know. So
it might.
I have a lot of folks down, but once we do that little Google Doc vote thing that tracks all the numbers, we'll make it more official. So I'll have you, all of you who've reached out, reach out through that link. But more on that next week. Let's get into this episode. I'm really excited for it. Yeah, let's talk about some freaking fantasy, man. I'm ready for it.
Let's do it. But thank you guys for smoking and joking with us. And of course, for all your support of the Get Pipe podcast. Means so much, especially those folks who are helping out with our Buy Around Club. Every donation counts to help us continue to episode 999. And we just want to give a big, huge, huge shout out to Lawrence Wayne, aka Larry. Thank you so much for helping us out with our Buy Around Club. He said, hello, Adam. Hello, Nick. I continue to listen to all of your episodes during my morning walks. I enjoy each episode's uniqueness and for what it brings to the community. Truly, you two are some of the most creative people I know. Please continue the great work you do. Hopefully, my Buy Around will help with the lens, car, or any other unfortunate event that happens to you. Adam, look forward to seeing you in Chicago. Thanks, Larry.
Larry,
what a guy.
I literally brought like a tear to my eye. I showed her with Get Wife, let her read the message. It means so, so much to us. And I'm going to follow up with her.
Because she's met Larry, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. That's right.
So, yeah, man, we got a lot of good Larrys who listen to the show. But this particular Larry, especially, man, I got to say thank you. We got to highlight you. Thank you so, so much. It absolutely does. It won't go to my car, but we do have a little fund that we're trying to build to get my lens fixed, which means, I guess, replacing it since I snapped it at its integral parts piece. But so, yeah, I really do appreciate it. He came in at the dram 12 times over.
12 times,
so,
yeah.
So I can't thank you enough, Larry. We are super excited to link up with you. We'll definitely get into the smoking tent and share a bowl. But yeah, thank you guys. To everyone else who's still a subscriber of the Buy Around Club, if you're interested in doing a one-time thing, go check it out. If you're interested in maybe subscribing, there's different tiers. You can go do that as well. It means so, so much to us.
Love it. Well, we have got a great show planned this week with another edition of One Smoke Ring to Rule Them All. And following our primary topic, we'll get into a little bit of overrated, underrated, and some this or that.
Hell yes. Big thanks to the producer guy for the producer guy things. Now, before we move into our primary topic, I want to remind you to take a deep breath, savor this moment, kindle your flame, and pipe as you please.
Well, folks, we have another One Smoke Ring to Rule Them All. And for those of you who do not know about this series, this is our kind of opportunity to talk Lord of the Rings in the greater Tolkien legendarium. We've kind of reined in what we've done, or whenever we do anything Lord of the Rings, it will now be One Smoke Ring to Rule Them All. And this episode can be accurate according to the writings of Tolkien, and you know, more so than just Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. It can include anything greater than that, anything in the legendarium, or we can bring a fantastical sort of take to it, where we expound upon some of the things that are in the books, are in the writings. And you saw that kind of in the last episode of One Smoke Ring, which was the Shire's pipe maker. What a great story that was. Also, what a great podcast art that was, because I don't know, it might have been John David Cole, who's the Shire's pipe maker. But yeah, Adam, what do we got today? Let's hear kind of this topic with Saruman and kind of what we got here.
Yeah, man, this one, I'm really excited for this. We had talked about this at some point in time where, we talk about the fact that there's some lore within the books, obviously, and then there's a lot of external stuff that came from the films. And as producer guy said, we like to kind of inject our own kind of, obviously the Shire pipe maker. We made most of that up. We pulled what we could from the text and then the films and added our own kind of flair. So we had talked about in one of those past episodes how I think it was our the one where we talked about the tobaccos of Middle Earth, and that was an accurate episode where we talked about the lore, and then we gave you the real world versions, which you could potentially go out and purchase, which we'll actually have to update because I think we talked about some of the Squire Middle Earth blends, and hey, if you're interested in Squire Middle Earth blends, they are now the Fantasy South blends. They're still there. They're still the same. I'm going to do a YouTube video on that eventually. I'm very busy, man, I am. But if you're thinking about Lord of the Rings and you want to go smoke old Toby, go to the Squire, and they still have the blends. They're just named differently. But yeah, so in one of those episodes, we talked about how Saruman had a trove. He had this little secret trove of pipe tobacco hidden in barrels. And we find this in the Two Towers when Meriadoc and Peregrin go into to Isengard, in the siege of Isengard with the Ents. And amidst all the chaos and destruction, they found amongst the rubble some tobacco. It was actually a long bottom leaf. That was the blend. And they knew it. They knew exactly what it was. They were like, oh, this is long bottom leaf. Why does Saruman have long bottom leaf? He apparently hates the hobbits. He thinks, the pipe weed corrupts the mind. He detests this kind of thing. But lo and behold, he was a consumer because it's freaking awesome. And so we wanted to talk about that because I think we had maybe even pitched the idea of like, how the heck did he even get this? So this one's going to be more of like a conversational piece. We'll talk a little bit about like the lore aspect, which will be pretty interesting. When I say the term lore, I'm talking specifically within not just the books, but also the films. I think every Lord of the Rings fan can kind of agree that the films are freaking awesome. Unless you're Christopher Tolkien, who thinks they were trash and action movies for kids, which I extremely disagree with. And I don't know, can you do that? Can you disagree with the son of the guy who wrote the damn thing? Yes. I think so. I think Peter Jackson did a wonderful job. So I'm kind of taking that as lore. So everything that Saruman said, pipe weed poisons the mind. Gandalf, your mind has been dimmed or whatever. The ring, one ring has been under your nose the whole time. All of that. So that's kind of our point when we talk about lore. We're talking about the books and the actual films. And then we'll again add our injection pieces. But yeah, so I don't want you guys to get concerned with the idea of canon, meaning we don't really care. This is just a fun series for that reason. But yeah, I'm kind of babbling because I'm really excited today. It's been so long since we've talked about, Lord of the Rings. And I told you guys the other day that I've been listening to The Hobbit, and I'm about to start the actual book, the trilogy, the Fellowship, and I'm very excited. So yeah, let's do this, man. Let's talk about how Saruman got his sinister store of pipe tobacco.
Let's do it, man. I love this because I know you mentioned it, but like this was in the first One Smoke Ring to rule them all. We talked about how Saruman got this tobacco, and we said we would touch upon it. We'd get into it at some point. Here we are. It's like fulfilling a prophecy. It's probably 100 episodes later, or however many might have actually been.
It could be.
It might actually literally be 100 episodes, but let's hear what you got, and I'll let everyone know how many episodes ago it was.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to talk about is the types, and we're going to kind of brush over this, but it just gives you a little bit of context. So specifically, as I had mentioned in the book, in The Two Towers, and in the film, they talk about how they acquired Long Bottom Leaf, and they acquired this at Isengard, and Isengard is Saruman's his lair, his headquarters, and this is where he was producing Uruk-hai. He was burning all the trees from Fangorn Forest, and that's why the Ents were quite upset, thus launching the attack on Isengard, thus launching the discovery of these troves of tobacco. So what happens is Merry and Pippin find these barrels in the ruins, and they're like, whoa, this is Long Bottom Leaf. This is one of the three main varieties of pipeweed, and pipeweed is a tobacco. Let's establish that. It is not marijuana. How do we know this? J.R.R. Tolkien was a prominent pipe smoker. End of story. And so this is one of the three varieties that had been recorded. And this one was the most sought after. It was the rarest. But those other two were called Old Toby and Southern Star. So Long Bottom Leaf is produced in the South Farthing. And that was a segment of the Shire. We've talked about this one as well. And Long Bottom Leaf just became like the oldest and most established. And it was this varietal that was very much enjoyed. It's almost like I would probably say this is the closest thing to like McClelland. McClelland had this magic to it. McClelland is definitely not the first pipe tobacco by any means, but it had an appreciation. People loved it. And when it went away, as it became, it continued to become more rare. And now it's like very sought after. So from my point of view, it seemed like this was a hard to find tobacco. It seemed like it might have been even out of production per se, because what we know about the hobbits is they're small families, right? They love parties and gatherings, but very sparingly. They liked keeping to themselves. They like smoking their pipes. They like cooking their foods. So for a family to be like a tobacconist to grow this tobacco in the South Farthing, it's not a very large production. And hey, just like the McClelland brand was, this the McClelland Tobacco Company, like while their reach was massive, right? They had the production. It was just a couple, right? So it's Mike McNeil and Mary McNeil. So I really do think Long Bottom Leaf is the equivalent of our McClelland here, but the two maybe not Mary McNeil and Mike McNeil, it was the Hornblower family. They noticed this. This is Merry and Pippin. They noticed that the branded marks of the Hornblower family was on these barrels, and so it was this Hornblower family who were very famous tobacconists, right? As I kind of had alluded to, and that was Tobold. They all love these names. Tobold Hornblower of Longbottom, right? That's where he lived. So as there was Underhill, there's many different places. The Bag End. He was Tobold Hornblower of Longbottom. Longbottom is where he lived, and then he is the one who introduced pipeweed into the Shire, and really made it grow and explode. And that's when other varietals were coming. Other, I guess, families were making these other brands. I guess you could argue Old Toby was a different brand or grown by a different family. But again, Longbottom Leaf was naturally from the Hornblowers who lived on Longbottom, and his family kind of remained associated with the pipe tobacco industry. And this again became their most famous piece. And they did these barrels. They stamped their barrels with it, and the Hornblower mark was on there. And that's where we are. Our good friends, maybe not ours, but maybe one day I would love to get those two on the podcast. They do a podcast. The actors Mary and Pip. I can't remember their names right now. Imagine, because a lot of the hobbits, the actors enjoyed pipe smoking. They enjoyed being pipe smokers in the film. A couple of them actually tried to continue it on for a little bit on their own. But anyway, so Merry and Pip find these in the ruins of Isengard, as I had mentioned, and this is like, okay, we've established it. Saruman is hoarding these. So how did he do it, right? Because he's not going over to Hornblowers and being like, hey, let me get a couple barrels, you know? Now, there's this Isengard operation was big outside of like all the crime, I guess, all the treason that they were doing. So organized for a long crime. Time. What's that?
Organized crime.
Oh, gosh. White collar. Again. They have a whole, I'm thinking about that one episode.
The Krampus knocked.
The Krampus where he was operating out of caves. They had a full operation. but, oh my gosh. So, anyway, we're talking about our good friend Hornblower, right? So I don't think he was doing daily deals with Saruman. You know, just based on the character that we read through the books and the character we see in the films. Again, this is a kind of guy who kind of probably creeped and crawled or had like his minions acquire the stuff. And I don't want to say he was a thief. Like I want to, but I'm not. Like, but I feel like he probably acquired these for ridiculously low prices. You know, like the opposite of price gouging. He was cutting?
He gouged them
like almost by force. So he was
with
like
a staff.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, because Saruman's done some pretty crazy stuff. Like, for example, poisoned the mind of ironic too, because he thought that's what pipeweed poisoned the mind, but he poisons the mind of King Theoden. Right, and we did a smoke. Was it a smoke lore with him with Theoden?
Yeah, we did.
Nice, hell yeah,
phenomenal smoke lore. By the way,
go listen to that one too. So Theoden's mind's poisoned by Saruman. I wouldn't put it past him to acquire some pipe tobacco through some sinister means, if you may. Like I don't think he's probably one of the dudes who thinks he's too good to just steal it, right? He's going to have his way. He's like, oh, I'll pay you, but I'm going to pay you, you know, pennies on the dollar kind of thing. And really, you know, drag this one out, really, really put his strength up front. Okay, you are going to sell these barrels to me. Or, I mean, he wasn't going knocking on their door with his staff, but, you know, maybe is, I don't think orcs are walking in the Shire, but he has a great reach, right? Right. So Saruman is like the head of the order of the wizard order. There was like, I think five of them. And you really only hear about Gandalf and Saruman, maybe a little bit Radagast if you're a fan of the Hobbit films. But he wasn't mentioned too much in the books. But for the most part, he's a very powerful individual. And before the treason of, you know, Isengard per se, he was a quote good character. Again, he was a mentor to Gandalf. He was a mentor, conversed with Elrond. He was a figure that was for the good. Maybe a little bit conceited. He was an elitist. If there's going to be a Guinness drinker in Guinness elitist, it's going to be Saruman the White. But yeah, so I think that's where we start, right? I think he's acquiring this through illegitimate means, and I also think he's embarrassed. I don't think he wants it to be known that he's acquiring pipe tobacco because he's openly spoken against it. He's openly talked about how it's foolish. It's a waste of time. Like he seems like the kind of guy who, oh, you need to be studying. You need to be reading books. You need to be studying maps. You need to be traveling, having relations, making connections. You know, doing networking and business—not business in the sense of like day trading or anything. But you know, like there's things that need to be accomplished in the realm of wizardry, I guess. And I think he's one of those ones who would shun that openly, very, very openly. You know, I'm too good for that. Like I won't stoop to smoking, but in his private, in his sector, in his quarters, that's exactly what he's doing. We know it's long bottom leaf.
Yeah. I thought a lot about this when I first read the books of like, yeah, this is such an interesting addition to the book. Like why did Tolkien have to put it in here? You know what I mean? Like there's so much else, so much other stuff that could be going on, but he was like, nah, Mary and Pip have to find this. Like,
yeah.
Like why? And that's my question. I'm not necessarily looking for an answer, but maybe what do you think was the thought behind this? Cause like in my head, it's to show that Saruman is like this sort of hypocritical figure that can't be trusted.
I do. So in the books, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. Okay. I actually really want my listeners, even though these books were produced in like what, the '50s and maybe early '60s by the time they're complete, but go read them. If you haven't, please go read them. But there's a culmination of events in the Two Towers, unlike that of the films. that I think they're trying to show you a lot about. I think Tolkien really wanted to show you a lot about the character that is Saruman. Mm. And I think you nailed it. I think by showing that one scene of them finding the pipeweed, it serves twofold, right? The first one is that it gives the hobbits something merry, no pun intended. Actually, I'm retroactively intending that pun. But you know, it gives them some joy, and you know, they were going through it, right? You know, right. They're marching along Ents who are going to just absolutely, you know, thrash this compound. And they were traveling very long. They were originally taken by the orcs. They were separated from their group. And then we have what Boromir's his heroic deed, which I won't spoil, that occurs in lieu of getting the hobbits to escape, but the hobbits were captured anyway. And so they were going through it. Then they escape the orc thing, their orc captors, and they find themselves, you know, almost crushed by Ents. And yeah, so they've been going through it. They're out of pipeweed. I don't even know if they had that. I think they actually mentioned how they didn't have pipes in the books. I could be wrong about that. But either way, by them acquiring this trove, by discovering it, it kind of gives them some hope. It gives them some fight. And it reminds you that they're still hobbits. So, and that's one thing I really love about Tolkien is his characters don't become so grand that they forget where they came from. You know, despite everything, despite all these heroic deeds and adventures and you know, damn near escaping death so many times, they're still hobbits, man. They get hyped up to see some pipeweed packed in a barrel because it's home. It reminds them of home despite being so far from home. But again, the other side of that, I think you're spot on, man, to show that he is this hypocritical character. He's his mind itself is poisoned, right? Because he is going back and forth. He was originally good, and then he's poisoned by Saruman, and he's now, it's like a downfall. It's like a rolling mudslide, what's that, snowball effect of just hypocriticalness and wrongdoing and mischief, I guess, to a degree. I think that was very important for Tolkien to kind of highlight that. And I do appreciate Peter Jackson for including that scene as well, at least in the extended edition.
Yeah. This is such an interesting thing to kind of go down in terms of the rabbit hole of like, what was Saruman thinking? Like, what was he thinking while he was collecting this stuff? Like, was he like, I don't know. Was he just saying like, I need this? Like, what started it is, I wonder, you know what I mean? Like, did he see Gandalf smoking? Did he?
Yeah.
Like,
I would say it was probably, he's had connections, great, great connections to all of Middle Earth. We know this because he has his, what are the, like the crows, some like carrion things that are flying across. I forget. He's got his spies all around. So I think he first picked up on this from Gandalf. It was very clear that Gandalf in his many meetings with Saruman probably was smoking a pipe. But I think he started to find a motivation to acquire it. I guess there's two routes. The first one is everything we've talked, which I'm leaning towards, which we'll come back to in a minute. Then there's like a slight side route that maybe he was just maybe he just intercepted some trade caravans, and like he wants to have a grasp on Middle Earth. He wants to have a control. He has eyes everywhere already. Maybe his agents had just intercepted some caravans that were traveling maybe from the Shire to other parts of Middle Earth, and then he just seized all of their cargo. Maybe all of that tobacco was just thrown into some cellar that was to do nothing. Cellar, again, pun retroactively intended. But maybe it was to deprive the hobbits of value, something that they a commodity that they very much value. Maybe it was to deprive them of resources, like talking about like their money as they get it. I mean, because we know the elves had smoked tobacco, we know the dwarves did, like everyone in Middle Earth did, and the hobbits for sure kind of capitalized that market in terms of the consumption. but it was out there, and this is a way for the hobbits to make a living. So maybe that was it, but I do feel like I bet there's some claws in that camp too, but I would imagine he had the steady supply of tobacco that he wanted to build up, his own little trove that he could go in and smoke in secret. But yeah, man, I think, you know, there's probably some kind of influence of just subjugating others, right? Just having the power to say, you're not going to be able to do this. You're like these hobbits are dim-witted, for all they do. All they do is sleep and, you know, write stories and look at maps and eat seed cakes and smoke these tobaccos. Let me take that from him. Maybe he wanted to just exploit that for his own gain. Maybe he just wanted to, maybe he was just curious. Maybe he's like, maybe this was these three barrels was like four or five barrels or whatever it was. He's like, you know what? Maybe I'm so done with being a bad guy. Maybe I just want to have a couple pipes and see if it works out.
I love that. Yeah. Let's go with the latter on that.
Yeah. I think, I think it's for the coercion. I think it's for the deception. Yeah, I think it's for, you know, like maybe it was, it could have been to like supply his own, I really do think he was trying to in secret. It was one of those things where politicians, right, all the time will say, don't do these things, don't do these things, and then go do those exact things.
Literally.
You know, that is the perfect example. Like, yeah. We're not going to get political here, but like don't care about your opinion on the mask thing, but that was a great highlight.
Classic.
There was perfect classic example of like, you know, some politicians being like super, super, super pro mask. You will wear it when you're alone in your car. You will wear it like when there's 500 feet between you and the next individual. And then you just see them like going at for parties, a jog or something in a big party. Yeah. At parties, gatherings, like high class ones. Yeah. That's Saruman. That's Saruman energy right there.
Talk about.
And the same, I would almost argue if you were, you know, politically anti mask and then for some reason wearing your mask all the time, like what are you trying to do here? Like you have ulterior motives, and that's exactly what Saruman has. But that first mask example really kind of pictures our pipe smoking Saruman.
It's the do as I say, not as I do mentality.
Yes.
And that is what I definitely sensed with Saruman. And then another question I have is like, why did he have barrels and barrels of it? Or just maybe was it two barrels, like, or was it multiples? I don't quite recall. I don't know.
So when they found the trove, it was, I think it was just, it stated barrels. There were several barrels found because it had the Hornblower family stamp. But I believe it just said barrels. But the film, I think, put maybe four or five. Okay. I think that's probably a fair assessment. And so that does reveal some other things, right? That might be able to point us towards his motives as well. I think there's part of this that could be his desire to take away from the hobbits, his desire to take away from the economy, and then his desire to just almost like Smaug. If we look at Smaug, the dragon in Middle Earth, in Lord of the Rings, the legendarium that is, the Lord of the Rings legendarium, Tolkien's massive world of Middle Earth, dragons are known for hoarding treasure, gold, pretty much gold, but jewels, you know, amethysts, whatever. But what do they do with it? They just kind of sit on it. They don't really do anything with it. They just love it and acquire it. Maybe that was part, you know, part Saruman as well. Like, oh, I'm just going to collect these things. He might smoke it occasionally. Man, there might be some pipe smokers out there with that Smaug mentality, right? Where we have, you know, I know you and I have acquired a lot of tobacco over time, and I know some of our listeners, especially when I say the older folks, I'm talking about the more experienced. You might be old, but that's not a problem to me. But some of the more experienced, you know, long-time pipe smokers, talking 20, 30 years, have these Smaug troves of pipe tobacco. I think you could fit a lot of pipe tobacco in a barrel. I know that because I've seen it. You can absolutely fit a lot of pipe tobacco in a barrel. Yeah. And so to even have just two barrels, right? That's a lot. That's more than, you know, yours and my cellar combined in just one barrel, I would imagine. We don't have that many pounds of tobacco by any means. So I think him having probably 3 to 4-ish would really kind of capture that sinister desire to take from others, to do as I say, not as I do, and to kind of control the economy, maybe even just the slightest, right? Like, he's not going for, you know, mass control of Middle Earth. He's just trying to have his claws, his fingers in all aspects of life in Middle Earth. And I think that's only adding to the sinisterium. The sinister toast crunch of that was stupid. But yeah, like, man, that. it's an evil guy, man. And yeah, I think that really does capture just by virtue of having just 2 to 3 barrels. But yeah, I think so. What do you think about that?
Well, my thought is like, oh my gosh, barrels, bro. Like,
yeah,
when we were at Satlev, like just seeing barrels of tobacco just sitting there. I mean, seeing bins of tobacco sitting around, I was like, oh my gosh.
I can't remember the poundage, but it's a lot. Like
in one barrel, hundreds something.
I want to say like...
Hundreds?
Oh, definitely hundreds. I want to say 1,000.
280? Not per barrel. Hundreds. Yeah.
Well, if you press... I know if you press with it. Perique, oh gosh, there's so much tobacco in there.
Yeah, maybe that's.
But I don't know.
I don't think it's 1,000.
No, let's call it tobacconist. Jeremy,
yeah,
Greg, Emerson.
Let me know.
You know,
all the guys.
Other guys, Quinn, other tobacconists.
Let us know.
Let us know how wrong we are. But yeah, man, pretty, I think what that also goes to show, though, is let's look at the cultivation of pipeweed, right? So we know it was primarily grown in the South Farthing, which was not a very massive area. But there, you know, that's just due because the climate was a little bit more suitable than maybe like the East Farthing. But you'll still find little small plots of hobbit farmers growing tobacco. Do you know how much they would have to grow over how much time in order to fill several barrels worth of just long bottom leaf, right? So this had to have been some very, very old stuff. Or, you know, like him acquiring that I feel like, dude, this is perfect with the whole McClellan thing. This isn't a McClellan episode, but it might be becoming one. You're not finding any. And when you do find it, it is $150 for 100-gram tin because Saruman has it all. He soaked up the market, right? There's tobaccos that are out of production or maybe on the borderline going out of production. Like we think of Colt Blood Red Moon. Who knows if that's going out of production? We've been hearing this for, gosh, I want to say like years. 5 years at this point.
It's been since I've been around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since I got into it, I think when I got into it, they had their whole line. The Colt was like the Profile, Blood Red Moon, Abacus. I loved Abacus. Bunch of other ones. And then it kind of shrunk down to Blood Red Moon. So that kind of validated some of those claims of it going out of business. And then over the past like year, it's kind of disappeared. But then it comes up on Pipes and Cigars, and they're selling it for like $8.99. And then they're doing another sale right now, like at regular price, but they're, you know, oh, buy a bunch of Colt Blood Red Moon. So maybe they're trying to get rid of it. But my point is that some of these hard to find tobaccos are still out there, and they don't cost $150 for a tin like this does. So I imagine if you're, it must be tough to be a hobbit in, you know, present day, I guess, when we're talking the Samwise Gamgee age, because if he's going to get some long bottom leaf, it's probably going to be a pricey tin of tobacco. And maybe that's why our friends Mary and Peregrine Took were very excited. You know, they were like overly excited. And I love in the film, you'll see, I think it's the extended edition again of the Two Towers. They reunite with part of the Fellowship, right? We have Aragorn, Gimli, and Legolas. And they come up to the ruins that is Isengard. And it's just Merry and Peregrine just smoking pipes, just crushing some long bottom leaf that they just acquired from Saruman atop those barrels. And that was very beautiful. That was a very beautiful thing. It was very on par with those characters, on par with the seriousness of a ruined town. And, And that's kind of a side note. That's like the perfect way in a film to add like a, I don't want to say like a, what do you call it when you, like you add in a laughter, like a
laugh track?
No. Like you add like something that's funny, comedic relief. Yeah, there we go.
Oh,
that's the perfect way to do it. Like it was like more of like a smile. Yeah, no, they didn't. Imagine Peter Jackson was like, let's throw in a laugh track on this scene. Oh gosh. But that's like the proper way to do like a, you know, kind of a relief of like all the tension where, cause it was very on par with those characters. It wasn't very forced. It was like, oh wow, that's beautiful to see them, those hobbits smoking. But yeah, we know that these guys have had a strong tradition of it. So it just makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I don't know. I think Saruman's kind of an evil guy. And I think his motives were, you said it perfectly, do as I say, not as I do. And yeah, I love the fact that the Ents really make him pay for that. I love the fact that Peregrine and Mary Adduck made him pay for that. They did it by smoking his trove. You know, the Ents did it by destroying Isengard, you know, and capturing Isengard. But you know, what the hobbits could do is like, I could smoke a pipe and, you know, kind of a, you know, two beeps and a wave, maybe a middle finger, two beeps and a middle finger. You know, that was the Merry and Pippin approach to smoking. To destroying Isengard, to capturing Isengard, just smoking it out.
Two beeps and a wave. I love it, man. but I don't know if I have anything else. I'm kind of wondering with this. Like, I just see this as a great sort of undertone, or not. It's not an explicit, but more of an implicit way of Tolkien to just show the kind of person that Saruman is, and how he's even been, you know, corrupted by Sauron and whatever's going on there. It's like power corrupts, and
yeah,
it kind of gets, he hits the theme very well with that, and it's unfortunate that Saruman had to bear the brunt of that, and then eventually, you know, get crushed. Anyways, that's okay.
Yeah, I think it kind of paints a picture of, you know, as we wrap this one up, I think the picture becomes reality, right? Just as we talked about with, you know, current day politicians, I think his acquisition of the Longbottom leaf was by Saruman is like, it symbolizes like several themes, and that we've kind of talked about. So, well, I guess we'll kind of bring it full circle here in through the narrative. Corruption and greed is probably the biggest one. That's the one that I think the most of. Like his desire for the trove reflects like this descent into corruption and greed, because he's outwardly spoken how horrible it is. And now it's also like the once, you could think about it like the once wise and respected Saruman who would never do that. Now, not only does he lust for power, he also lusts for these commodities that he's been trashing on, the things that he's been throwing to the side. He's been scorning, if you may, and that kind of turns into the second theme, which would I guess be like this manipulation and control. We talked about how he would like to control all aspects of Middle Earth, or at least have his hand in it, by just virtue of possessing this tobacco. Highlights that it's a very manipulative nature, and you know, it's this ongoing quest for Saruman to have control over others in one way or another, whether he's going to listen to him or not. You know, again, I think of kind of all the crazy stuff that came out of the COVID stuff. But by controlling this valuable resource, right, it's he has an influence over the hobbits, even if it's making the hobbits, who have no idea, pay $150 for a tin of Longbottom Leaf. You know what I mean? Like that's part of his agenda of domination to a degree. And you know, it's like, this was also a symbol. This was a symbol for their people, and as a whole, like pipeweed was a symbol for like civilization to a degree. You know, there's a lot of cultural elements that are associated with the hobbits and their smoking. But the other characters, right? Gandalf learns how to pick up the pipe, and he also spreads that. The elves enjoy it. The dwarves enjoy it. So by him taking these barrels for himself, whether it's to actually smoke or to hoard, it's kind of sending a message. One that doesn't necessarily have to be actually delivered, right? Like the dwarves don't got to know, oh, what, he has the Longbottom leaf, you know, they probably don't care, but it just says like an underlying tone. It's an exploitive way of taking from the innocent and the peaceful civilization. So And then, yeah, I think the final piece, man, is just the irony, right? That this downfall is ultimately brought by his own arrogance, his overreach, and, you know, the fact that the hobbits come to see it upon his downfall. They get to crack open these barrels, smoke it, is kind of like a, yeah, you fell down, you fell too deep, just like the dwarves who delved too deep into the mines of Moria to unleash the Balrog. I think Saruman delved too deep into the lives of others, into the manipulation of others to the control, and his own greed as well. So he's a very corrupted character, and I think he's written perfectly. I don't think he's over the top. You know, like, I really like the idea of, like, the Emperor Sidious, or Emperor Palpatine, Darth Sidious, from Star Wars. He's like the classic. He's the worst guy. He's really bad. He's really evil. I like how they made Saruman not really that way. They made him this elite character, this elite figure who has this dark presence to him. But then they slowly unravel through things like this to show his true inner evil. And yeah, so while pipeweed is really fun, pipeweed is really cool. It's something that us as pipe smokers would love to get our hands on. I think by showing these barrels, this sinister trove that he has, the sinister store, really shows that evil side of Saruman. And yeah, I think I would love to try some. I would love to try some Longbottom Leaf, the real stuff from the Hornblower family. But man, I don't. Let me know when. I'll go to tinbids.com. This is not an ad. Go to tinbids.com for your. Hey, mister, where could I find the nearest pot of Longbottom Leaf?
Well, you gotta go to tinbids.com.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, last thing. Do you think there's anything like.
I'm dead. Okay, go ahead.
Can we relate what Saruman's doing to anything today? Like, is there any? I mean, I guess the McClellan stuff. Like, is that kind of maybe? Would you die on that hill and say, like, all right, that's a great comparison to kind of what people are doing today?
I would say, yeah, I would say it's like an 80% comparison because I don't shun or.
Yeah, no.
Have scorn, I mean, towards folks who hoard McClellan. I had once done it, and then I also sold it for the crazy prices that people were asking. So I get that, but I think, but I do love the idea of, you know, Longbottom Leaf being the Hornblowers being the McClellan equivalent, right? They've established that they have something different. It's different than Old Toby. It's different than Southlich. It's different than South Farthing, or not South Farthing. Whatever the other one is, I don't quite remember. Southern Star, there we go. It's different from these other known tobaccos, and maybe this is something similar to Longbottom Leaf is something similar to Syrian Latakia. Maybe that's the case. This is all just us. There's no real answer here.
Yeah, but of course.
Because this was predominantly grown in the South Farthing, they were able to produce something that was very spectacular. Whereas it went away. Maybe they stopped. Maybe the family stopped producing it, and you know, Old Toby that was grown in, say, I don't know, the West Farthing just wasn't as good. Like maybe the Cyprian Latakia that was grown in Cyprus. I'm not saying that this is one of those weird ones where they're both good, right? But because when you lose one thing, it makes you value it a little bit more. So if you have Syrian Latakia next to Cyprian Latakia, you're probably going to love the Syrian much more. Virtue of that is that it's been very aged, because if you're smoking it, it's going to have this very, very nice age to it. Very, very mellow. And it is absolutely spectacular. But they were still blending with Cyprian Latakia when Syrian Latakia was a thing. Like, this was a common blending component, just like Syrian was, because it was available and it provides something different. So maybe it's not saying that Longbottom Leaf is inherently better, in the sense of like a Syrian versus Cyprian, but it's just different. And because the Hornblowers are no longer producing it, maybe that's the appeal to it that makes you think it's a lot better. But that said, it is absolutely spectacular. I'll tell you that, Syrian, if you can get some. but yeah, man. So I think in terms of like the real world, is probably, you know, we're American. Americans have we're resource hoarders. That is a thing. There's definitely some corporate greed problems going on out there. There's definitely some political manipulation going on out there. And yeah, I think that probably is what Tokine was saying, but I think he was coming at it from like the best way possible, in a way that didn't make you say, oh, he's a bad guy for this, which he absolutely is. It also made you just appreciate the love that the hobbits had for the pipeweed, the love that you felt when seeing the hobbits enjoy these two, you know, enjoying their pipes together was pretty spectacular. So, yeah, I think I'm kind of rambling at this point, man. I think there's some parallels to the real world, but I think we nailed, Saruman. And did. Not how does he in the I don't want to give spoilers, but there's a good reason for
if they haven't if someone hasn't read the books by now or watched the movies,
yeah,
one or the other.
Okay, there we go.
You can give a little spoiler.
Pun retroactively intended when I said nailed, because Saruman gets nailed in the films. But watch his demise in the film if you haven't seen it. You'll get that reference in a little bit. But yeah, man, I think this was cool. I love the idea of talking about hobbits and pipes weed, and I'd love to start exploring some other aspects of the One Smoke Ring series. Nothing going on, right? No Hobbit Day, no Tolkien birthday, no good reason for us to do it other than the fact that we were feeling it. I really wanted to talk about this particular topic. It's been something that's been on our mind for a little bit now. It's fun, man. It's fun. So I would love for you guys to shoot some ideas to us. Give us your feedback. What do you think? What do you think Saruman's like? What do we miss? What are things that could, different options that could explain why he was, you know, cellaring all of this this tobacco? What are some other things we kind of miss in terms of the elements, the themes that this represents through Tolkien's writing, through his pen himself? And then, yeah, send us some ideas for some future One Smoke Rings. Anything, any topic you'd like us to take, whether it's fantastical or more, I guess, lore-based or canon-based, we're open to all of it. But yeah, this was fun, man. I hate Saruman now, because he's the reason that McClellan costs $150 a tin.
Segments. Let's go. We got a little overrated, underrated, over under for y'all. And then we got some this or that. But before we get into that, let's hit some overrated, underrated. These are all from our good friend Piedmonicus. I feel like we haven't hit over under in a while. So
no.
Some probably got a lot of new listeners. For those of you who don't know, over under is where Adam rates community submitted topics, overrated or underrated, sometimes properly rated. These are all pipe smoking related. And we got a little bonus at the end from our friend Red Run. So Red Run. So we'll get into that in a bit, but let's get these started. The first one, cutting up your cigar to smoke in a pipe.
I love our good friend Piedmonicus, man. He's got a vision. I don't know what his vision's towards. I don't know if I'm liking where it's going, but he's got vision. Cutting up your cigar to smoke in a pipe. I've never done this, and I have a feeling all the crazy things that's about to come, I probably also haven't done, but I want to say underrated, I guess. This could be, if you're a tobacconist, man, my hands are up, don't shoot. Maybe that's crazy. That's crazy, but I think I would want to try that for fun. Because, right, you think about it, right? You're still smoking a pipe, right? That is a pipe, you're smoking a pipe. And what do we love? This is the Get Pipe podcast, not the Get Tobacco podcast, so I think that counts. I'm going to go underrated. I think I will try that. Maybe I'll try it after this episode. I will try it tomorrow. You have my word. The time this goes live, I will try it.
Okay.
Underrated.
All right. I love it. Next one. Rolling your pipe tobacco in a cigar leaf to smoke as a cigar.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. Now we're getting weird. This one I'm going to go overrated. That seems like a very difficult process. You have to know how to roll a cigar. And if you have the ability to roll a cigar, just roll a cigar. So we're going to overrate it on that one, but we're doubling down now. Actually, I like this on my first one as underrated. So this one overrated for sure.
Okay. Next one. Snuff.
Snuff, man. Dude, snuff is weird. It's a weird thing to in the tobacco industry. It's this was another common form of tobacco consumption. And I would say it's in this gray area. I think a lot of people outside of tobacco would probably assume snuff is like a really bad thing, and probably is, cigarettes. But snuff has this weird kind of, you know, protected thing. You know, the way I like to look at it is the way cigars have pipes kind of under them. Like cigars, like, yeah, we're all these cigar guys. Yeah, pipes are cool. That's kind of like pipe guys are like with snuff. It's like, yeah, we're pipe guys. And yeah, snuff is cool. I'm going to go underrated. Okay. I'm not going to buy any, but every time I'm at a pipe show, if someone's got the snuff, I might do a little, you know, a little snuff. It just sounds weird to be, I don't want my mom to know I'm snorting tobacco, but that's what it is. But yeah, I'm going to go underrated. You know, every now and then it's kind of cool.
Okay. All right. Next one, smoking two pipes at one time, aka dual puffing.
Not even, just stop.
Just don't do it.
Delete. Wrong. Incorrect.
Moving on. All right. Moving,
yeah.
Filling a bowl halfway with one blend and then halfway with another blend.
Oh, gosh.
This vision.
What is this? What realm are we in? You know, I guess I don't want to say underrated, and I don't want to say properly rated. It's definitely not overrated, or excuse me, it could be overrated. This sounds fun. Am I ever going to do it? Very, 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 very likely not. Gosh, I can't in good conscience call this properly rated or underrated, but I don't hate this idea. I think it would be a fun experiment. Fill like an aromatic and then into an English blend. See that transition. I think that could be pretty cool, but I'm stumped. I have no answer. So where the last one I told you no, this one I tell you I don't know. This is the first you have it.
That's the main portion. And let's get into our bonus by Red Run. Glencairn glasses.
Ooh, that's a fun one. That is a great bonus. Thanks, Red Run, for that one. I'm going to go very underrated. I love these things. What is a Glencairn? They're also known as snifters, or I think they have, there's some other crazy names for them, but it's basically the classic whiskey glass, maybe not classic whiskey glass, but you'll find a lot of Irish whiskeys are served in Glencairns. You'll find a lot of Scotch served in Glencairns. So for me, naturally, those are, I'm not a big Scotch guy, but obviously, I don't consume a lot, but I very much appreciate a lot of Irish whiskey. So I'm going to lean to a Glencairn. I got this really awesome one from the Tullamore Dew factory. I'm a big fan of these. But what's overrated, or going to extrapolate, we're going to make this a two-parter, is like the big whiskey glasses with bullets in the side of it, or, fake ice around the side. I'm a very simple man. I like my Glencairn glass, or I like a very classic James Bond circular whiskey glass.
Mm.
That's it. You know, something very simple, something you'd get at like a, you know, a little speakeasy or something. But those are the two that I would enjoy my spirits in. But yeah, I'm going to go very, very, very underrated on the Glencairn.
All right. That has been overrated, underrated. Send us your over under topics to our Discord. That's the best place to do it. There's a specific channel for that. Or you can send them to show@getpiped.co. And finally, our next segment is a little bit of this or that, also from our good friend Pied Monicus. So, for those of you who don't know, This or That is where Adam and I get to choose this or that. And these do not need to be pipe smoking related. These can be just kind of whatever, whatever it needs to be. But today we got some like workout-y related ones. So okay. I'm excited for these. So first one, yoga or Pilates?
Yoga or Pilates? Wow. They're very similar. Yoga is more slow paced, right? And stretchy. Yeah. And then Pilates is more of like a, it's like yoga, but more dynamic, doing like leg raises and, you know, weird. And I dislike both of these very, very much so. But I'm going to go yoga. I'm going to go yoga, which I don't like. I don't not like it. I just, it's very uncomfortable. I'm not good at it. I'm not flexible. So I should do some yoga, but it's so boring and ugh.
Yeah. I'm going to say yoga as well. I think yoga is good. There's different types of yoga. There's like long hold positions, which I think I need just to like really sit in one place and release the body rather than, I mean, yoga is a workout, man. Like when I,
oh, 100%, you'd be sweating,
bro.
That's the thing. Like I like the ones where, that's why I don't like yoga, because the ones I like are the easy ones where you just sit and with like the pretzel, or ones where you're sitting, but like ones where you got to like actually
get up.
There's a terminology for it, like passive versus, you know,
active.
Yeah. Passive versus active stretches. The passive ones are awesome, but active ones are hard. They make a man out of you.
Yeah, they will. All right, next one: handstand push-ups or muscle-ups?
Ooh, that's a fun one. I'm going to take this as like, what would I prefer to be able to do? Because right now I can do neither of those things. I would prefer to do muscle-ups. Muscle-ups look really cool. If you don't know what a muscle-up is, it's basically, imagine a pull-up, but instead of pulling up to your chest where your chin is over the bar, you flip your arms over and then you do a push. So now your arms are completely extended. You're holding the bar and the bar is at your waist, basically. And it is a very difficult thing. There's been a point in my time where I could do like 10 in a row, and I'm at a point right now where I can not do one. So, but they're fun, man. They're really cool. And the typical handstand pushup you'll find at like CrossFit gyms, folks are doing it on like with their back against a wall. You know, and that's fine. It's actually a great work. Well, it's a good workout. I think there's much better things to do, but it's more of like a just classic discipline-y CrossFit exercise. If you could do handstand pushups just like by doing a handstand in the air, like not supporting on anything.
Freestanding.
There we go. That could be a contender, but I still think the muscle up just looks so cool.
Yeah. I'll take this as which one I'm better at, because I can currently do both. I can do.
Wow.
I'm better. Yeah, I can flex even more if you want. We did a handstand push-up. It was they call it one of the girl workouts in CrossFit.
Never liked how they did that.
It's like a standard, right? So it's something that you're supposed to be able to do. Like I did it last year.
Oh yeah. It's called a girl workout because they're all named after ladies.
Yeah, they're all like,
not because it's like, oh, this is a lesser version.
Okay. Yeah, no. It's like the one we did yesterday was called Diane. For example.
Okay, yeah. There's Diane, Cindy, Melanie, Tammy.
Yep. Nancy. We did Nancy on Monday. So Diane was, the rep scheme was 21 repetitions, 15 repetitions, 9 repetitions. So it was 21 deadlifts at 225 pounds, right into 21 handstand pushups. Then you did right into 15 deadlifts, 15 handstand pushups, 9. And I did that last year in June. I got 5 minutes, 28 seconds for all that, which was pretty good. I was happy with it. This year, and this is where like the idea of the standard, like you're able to repeat it. I got 3 minutes and 40 seconds. So,
damn, what was the weight on the deadlift?
225.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. So
I could, that would take me 30 minutes because I can't do a handstand pushup. So.
But okay, my flex is over. Okay, I'm gonna do muscle ups. That's cool.
They're so much more fun.
So much cooler.
They don't hurt your shoulders as much.
Yeah. I do rings. I like the ring ones. Sorry. One more flex.
Oh my gosh. Shut up.
All right. Next one. Pymonicus is gonna like that. He's a good guy. He's all about the fitness and health and all that stuff. Anyways, all right. Running, sprints, or distance?
I'm gonna take this as not what's more conducive to achieving your goals. What would I rather do? This is going to be a big surprise for producer guy. I'm going to go distance.
That's not a surprise.
Is really?
Not right now.
Back in the day, man, producer guy and I were freaking track stars. This is us flexing our high school muscle.
Both of us, yeah.
But we were really, really good at New Hampshire high school track. We were like top 10 in the
top
state.
Top tier.
You know?
Yeah.
We were competitors, right? Got letters from colleges to try to get us to run for their schools and whatnot. Like we were studs, and it was all sprinting. And you couldn't catch me running more than 2 miles. It just wasn't gonna happen. I barely did the 400 meter warm up that
we were forced
to do. We always did like 300 meters, and whenever coach saw us, he'd get mad at us. But every time he'd be like, "You guys do the full lap?" Yeah, of course. Hell yeah. No,
he's like, "I was watching you the whole time." No, you didn't.
He's like, "Now just do it again." Like, damn it. But it's just easy to kind of cruise. I don't love running, but I'm very infatuated right now with steps. Just like our good friend Larry, who's listening to this right now on his walk, getting his steps in, man. Dude, getting the steps in is like, dude, as we age, it's just so good for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the energy, the joint capacity to do sprints like I used to, you know. With the army, I still do every now and then. But it's just so much easier. Just get out there, take a jog. I don't stress it. We're doing this. I think I've talked about it. I got a half marathon this weekend, literally in a couple days. Last time I ran was last week, maybe on a good note, probably the week before. I'm screwed, but I'm just gonna take a chill. You know, just put one foot in the front of the other and just keep on jogging. I'm not gonna go too crazy. Gonna go that distance, just like Hercules. So yeah, I'm gonna go distance.
This is actually a hard one. I'm not going to lie, because like
you hate running distance.
I hate running distance, but I don't think I'm like my body's conducive to doing legitimate sprints. And I think I would get frustrated. Like if I were to do a legitimate like sprint, 100 meter sprint, just like all that, I don't know. I feel like I would get frustrated that it's not where it used to be. And I know that's stupid. So I guess what I'm saying is it might be distance just based on the, I don't know. I think sprints are really good for you.
No, they are. They're very, very good for you, but it just,
okay. Maybe
if you're not, if you haven't been training.
Yeah. Sprints, maybe that's what I'm getting at.
Very painful thing. And yeah, I could see that. Like we were running 10 second hundreds, I mean, probably 10.8s, 10.9s, 11.4s. 10.9 if you were still like a stud, get some wind on your back.
Yeah.
We're from New England, New Hampshire track, not Ohio, you know, Texas or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
but if we did it right now, we'd probably be in the 12 range, high 12s.
Maybe even a little higher than that, to be honest.
Gosh. I'm gonna have to
Which is hard. And that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. I can see that. It's like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still going to go sprints generally, but I think distance is at this point like more conducive to like less pain, if that makes sense. But anyways. All right, number four, drinking coffee and smoking before a workout or taking a pre-workout product.
Okay, well, I'm gonna take this one as like actually a little bit of advice if you're interested in, you know, get into it. But I'll start off actually by telling you what I do. Right now it's just been drinking coffee and smoking before my workout. I've found zero adverse effects. I quite literally zero on literally as I'm walking out my car, I am puffing on my pipe and then I put it down and then I walk in the gym and it's fine. Before I go on my run for PT, I'm puffing on my pipe, sometimes a cigar, and go run. And I have zero adverse effects. I don't inhale when I smoke pipes ever, ever, ever. If I do, it's an accident and I don't intend to do it again. Yeah, I just don't have any ill effects, but it's a great way to get my mind right. And I don't know, it's just I just like coffee and cigar. There's no, oh, I got to go to the gym. Let me smoke my pipe and drink some coffee. I'm just probably already drinking coffee and I'm probably going to smoke when my car is on. So not necessarily in the context of before workout, but that's what I've been doing. And the reason being is because I like to go throughout about my day in a fasted state. I like to eat my calories, my meals at the end of the day when I get home, because I have a binge eating disorder. We'll talk about that and brother to come up. So that's a good way to stop me from going to hammer time with the eating. So I have not been taking pre-workout, because that would break a fast, but I've been a big proponent of some of the quality pre-workouts out there. If you were looking into getting into the gym, I would totally like to recommend it to you. You know, I have a couple products that I really much enjoy. Are they good for you? I don't know, but they make you work out hard. They make you get results. They really do work.
They do.
You know, there's a lot of bad out there. There's a lot of bad out there. But there's some pretty stellar ones that have like the literal scientific studies to show that the ingredients are good things to put in your body before a workout. So, yeah, I guess I'm gonna lean on pre-workout. If I'm talking in the context of getting a better workout, getting better results, I'm gonna go with pre-workout.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do 100%. Not even just for results, but like coffee doesn't make my stomach feel the best. Like, especially before a workout, and smoking does not make me feel the best. Personally, I know plenty of people who have coffee before like high intensity CrossFit workouts, and that's absurd to me. But I'll take a
pre-workout. Yeah. I mean, well, isn't that not the same thing? But maybe worse with the pre-workout because it has more caffeine.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the caffeine though. That's necessarily affecting me with coffee. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So it's just you. Yeah, you've always had kind of a sensitivity to coffee.
Yeah,
especially in the morning.
I'll drink it, good to go. But like, honestly, if I have more than one cup, which that's not part of this equation, but like my stomach feels a little wonky. But typically when I take pre-workout, I do have something to eat. Personally, I'm not doing the whole fasted thing. If I were doing intermittent fasting, I wouldn't be taking pre-workout just because, yeah, same thing you said, but also pre-workout on its own does do weird things to my stomach. So, yeah, I've thrown up I've thrown up a couple times, literally not eating and doing high-intensity workouts. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but it is what
would you throw up if you didn't eat anything? Air. That's a joke. That's a dumb joke. Anyway.
Okay. I liked it. All right. Last one. We'll get through this. Do 1,000 push-ups for a long workout or run 15 miles? This is a hard one.
That's a good one. It's not a hard one for me. Doing 1,000 push-ups would be so good for your shoulders, biceps, triceps, chest, core. That's a great workout. Zero chance I'm doing that. 15 miles easy. 15 miles would be an absolute grinder. Like I'm doing 13. It's going to be a grind. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm going to be hurting at the end. And it's going to be long. But like the feeling I'd have having accomplished the 15 miles will be greater than that of I think the 1,000, that's a tough one in terms of like what's our goals, right? But I think there's like that would take you a very, very long time. And I can bust out some push-ups, man. I really can. And that'd probably take me close to an hour. Probably more.
For 1,000?
I mean, I can do probably 80 in the first, in probably a minute. I'm pretty good at push-ups. But then, I'm smoked.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay. That's probably a 2.5 hour, 3 hour workout for me.
Yeah.
Closer to 3, yeah. And yeah, I mean, 15 miles will take me about probably 2.5 to 3 hours. So... very comparable, but dude, there's nothing. If you've ever had a long push-up workout where you're just sitting there on the floor, and then you got to do another. Let me bang out another 3. Let me get another 5. Okay, now I got to do 2.
It's like Murph. It's like you do whatever, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I can do. I'm good at push-ups. Why is this so hard? Why can I not get my body to go? But I feel like with running 15 miles, you can just like you can walk. At the end of the day.
Just run 15 miles. But I see what you're saying. I've always said that with distance running. Like you just slow down. Just go slower.
Realistically, air quotes, jog slower than you can walk. Like, if you want to get down to it. I mean, that's...
Yeah. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. Dude, humans are bipeds, right? We're meant to walk. We're meant to maybe not run very far. But, dude, you look at, like... Oh, yeah. The conquest of, like, the Roman Empire. Soldiers were traveling very... Like, 40 miles a day. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. American Revolution, you know, Civil War. You see these battles. Oh, this first battle was in North Carolina, and then the next one was by Charleston, South Carolina. Like, oh my gosh, it would take me 3 hours in my car going 80.
80. Yeah. Anyway. I think, gosh, this is a hard one. I think I'm going to do the push-ups. I'm just going to push through it. Pun intended.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's been this or that. This was kind of a long one, but I think it was good because we talked some stuff out. We got through some stuff. For those of you who are out there and don't really care about fitness stuff, sorry. I think it's still good. It's a good, you know, gives you some thoughts. But next week, we got another... Probably another one by Piedmonicus, and it's Crazy Extremes. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. But if you got any more of this or that, send them to our Discord. Again, we got a specific channel for it. But if you don't want to do that, you're not all about the Discord stuff, which you should be. But if you're not, send them to show@getpiped.co. Well, my brother, this is the end of the episode. For those of you who didn't know that, this is our closing. I always ask Adam, if people want more of what you're doing, where can they find you on the interwebs?
They can find me on youtube.com/getpipe for some of the premier YTPC pipe smoking content. I've been getting into the YTPC a little bit more. I've had some downtime where I'm like, I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Let me watch some YouTube videos. So I'm trying. It's been kind of fun. So, but you can check me out there, youtube.com/getpipe. But if you're into the more short form content, which is a lot shorter than my podcast or my YouTube videos, you can find me on Instagram @get_pipe. But if you follow me, make sure you follow my right hand man, GPP_producer guy. And lastly, join our Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club. It's a great place to be. You can submit all your content. And you can hang out with good folks. Even if you're not close to a pipe club, it's your galactic pipe club.
I love it. I love it. And we just, again, want to say thank you so much for all the support you've given us throughout 117 episodes. It means so much. Really, really does. While you're supporting us even more, please share this podcast with any and all pipe smokers. Go ahead, give us the rating. Give us that 5-star. It really means a lot. Write a review, but don't just share it with the men. Share it with the women and the children too. But Adam, it looks like this week we got some wise words of wisdom. So what are those words that we have this week?
Yeah, man. I was just listening to the Pipes Magazine Radio, and this is actually, I think, the second time I brought up this specifically. But man, I'm excited for the pipe shows, and I've came to the realization, and we had a good conversation I'll tell you how this relates to the Pipes Magazine Radio, in our Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club, talking about how, you know, we're going to be just hanging out at the Chicago Pipe Show. This is an event that is very expensive. Flights were very expensive. Hotel is very expensive. If you're driving, you have to pay for parking. Admission is very expensive. Still going to do it. I still recommend you all do it. It's a fun thing. And we had talked about this in our couple episodes ago, and in our Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club, folks were kind of echoing it. They're like, hey man, like totally agree. But some of my favorite pipe shows I've been to, I'm thinking about our good friend Kirk Keener had said, are the ones that I came with damn near $0 and just got to hang out and smoke. I bought nothing. I wasn't tempted by anything because I just knew it was going to be a good friendship opportunity. And man, I couldn't agree enough. And that reminds me of Brian's episode of the Pipes Magazine Radio that just went live. And he's been saying this for a very, very long time, but he always says, if you're a pipe smoker, you're a friend of mine. And I love that so much because that's what the pipe show is for. It's for pipe smokers. So just by virtue of being a pipe smoker, you have at least one friend, which is Brian Levine. So don't think you're going alone. You have your Brian Levine, but I will echo that as well and say, you got me, you got Get Piped, you got Get Wifed, you got every single individual of the pipe smoking community. So that's something I wanted to get off my chest. I'm excited to go hang out and enjoy the camaraderie, enjoy the friendship, enjoy the smokes, and enjoy the fun. But for now, I am off to save the pipe smoking world. But once again, I'm not sure how I'll pull it off. But until then, you've all just been piped. And until the next piping, we are out.